If it is not so, parts also count. And thus in reading each letter is counted as one good deed, and the reward of each good deed will be increased 10 times, as promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشُّ مِثَالِهَا. One who brings a good deed for him will be tenfold the like thereof. 10 times, however, is the minimum increase. وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah multiplies the reward for whomsoever He desires. That each letter of the Qur'an Sharif, when read, amounts to a good deed, has been illustrated by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying that Alif Lam Mim is not one letter, but Alif Lam and Mim are 3 separate letters, so it will comprise 30 blessings. There is a difference of opinion among the ulama whether Alif Lam Mim is the beginning of Surah Baqarah or Surah Al-Fil. If it is the beginning of Surah Baqarah, and only 3 letters are counted, and only 3 letters are counted as they are written, then the blessings will be 30. And if it is the beginning of Surah Al-Fil, then Alif, Lam and Mim, which is the beginning of Surah Baqarah, will be 9 letters. Therefore its reward will be 90 blessings. Al-Imam Bayhaqi rahimahullah ta'ala has reported another hadith similar to this portion of the above mentioned hadith, namely, I do not say Bismillah is one letter, but uphold that Ba, Sin and Mim, etc. are separate letters. Hadith Mu'az Juhani radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever reads the Qur'an and acts upon it, and acts upon what is contained in it, his parents will be made to wear a crown of the day of Qiyamah, the brilliance of which will excel that of the sun, if the same were within your worldly homes. So what do you think about the person who himself acts upon it? Hadith Mu'az al-Juhani radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever reads the Qur'an and acts upon what is contained in it, his parents will be made to wear a crown of the day of Qiyamah, the brilliance of which will excel that of the sun, if the same were within your worldly homes. So what do you think about the person who himself acts upon it? Thus it is through the virtues of his reading the Qur'an Sharif and acting upon it that the parents of the leader will be, of the reader, will be honored with a crown, the brilliance of which will far excel the light of the sun, even if the sun were within your own home. The sun is at a great distance from us, and even then its light is so bright. The sun comes down into one's house, its light and brilliance will surely increase manifold. The light of the crown to be worn by the parents of the reader will still be more brilliant. When this is in store for the parents, what will be the reward of the reader himself? Surely if the beneficiaries get so much, the reward of the person who is the real cause should be much more. The parents get this reward solely because they were the cause of the reader coming into a being, or were responsible for his education. In addition to the fact that the light of the sun will be far greater, if it were in one's own house, this simile implies yet another delicate point. Attachment and liking for a thing increase when it always remains with a person. Therefore the feeling of strangeness for the sun due to distance will give place to attachment because of its close nearness all the time. Thus, in addition to describing the brilliance of the crown, the Hadith Sharif implies this attachment with the crown and also the great satisfaction that it belongs to oneself. Everybody gets benefited by the sun, but if it were to be given entirely to a person, how very proud he would feel. Allah Ta'ala give us so fit. In regard to social etiquettes, sitting, walking and lying down. To lie down with one leg over the other in such a manner that one satr is exposed is forbidden. However, if the satr is not exposed, there is no harm. To lie down with one leg over the other in such a manner that one satr is exposed is forbidden. For example, a person is wearing a lungi or is wearing short pants, that the satr becomes exposed. But this will be incorrect to lie with one leg over the other. However, if the satr is not exposed, then there is no harm. One should not walk with arrogance and vanity. There is no harm in sitting cross-legged if it is not done due to pride. Do not sleep on the stomach. Do not sleep on such a balcony or high place which does not have a barrier. Perhaps one may roll and fall off. Do not sit in such a way that part of the body is in the shade and part is in the sun. Do not sit in such a way that part of the body is in the shade and part is in the sun. If a woman has to emerge due to some necessity from a home, she should walk on the side of the road and not in the center. Well, Allah give us understanding.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Yesterday we tried to explain that Allah's great qudrat in the food that Allah gives us. That's the kamal of Allah Ta'ala. And then the nawal of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala has given it to us when we're not at all worthy of it. Our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahimahullah, gives this beautiful example, like a little child, he's playing in the kitchen with his mother, she's busy cooking, and then he gets up to mischief small children, and he mixes, for example, the rice with the flour, he's making all lot of problems. Now he's hungry, it's eating time. So he shouts, he says, Amma, give me my food, I want to eat. So the mother gets cross. She tells him, first make all this mess you made here, clear up your mess first. She knows he can't do it, but she will have to do it. But she tells him, all this big mess and now you want food. Just like that, when we want to eat and sometimes the food is just little late, then also we make a big noise. But actually, our Shaykh says, we have to first make tawbah, salatu tawbah, and ask Allah forgiveness for his namas. How much don't we disobey him? And then every small thing we got to complain. The salt is not right, this is too hot, that is too cold. But we don't think that, what are we? We're not fit for that food at all. So, and there is nobody, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the wahdahu la sharik. Who can be like Allah Ta'ala? That we are so disobedient, yet Allah keeps on feeding us. And not only feeds us, gives us what wonderful food to eat also. If the children are naughty, or we have a fight with the wife, or if she's cross, she doesn't want to cook because we have upset her, then we get cross and we don't want to do anything. But Allah is feeding His entire creation all the time. In fact, Allah Ta'ala's one quality, which is in the Quran Sharif also, Allah is Dhul Jalali Wal Ikram. That is, Allah is that being who is of Jalal also, the awe, the greatness of Allah, and Ikram, the graces, kindness, and the great favors of Allah Ta'ala. So when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam read this, so he said to Allah Ta'ala, you are Dhul Ikram also, that your favors, your kindness, your fadl surpasses everything. I would like to witness an example of this, that how is it that you are so kind? What is your great mercy, your kindness? Allah Ta'ala told Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, take your stick, the stick of Musa is famous, Asai Musa, and hit it on a certain rock. He hit it, that rock split into two. The one part of it, he said, hit it again, and it split in two again. From that one part, Allah said, hit it again. He hit it and it split in two again. So right down in the deep crevices of the rock, there Musa alayhi salatu wasalam saw a little worm with a fresh leaf in its mouth. It's eating there. So Allah showed how Allah feeds, that even that worm which is right in the deep, deep, deep recesses of the rock, Allah feeds it. And not only that, Allah made Musa alayhi salatu wasalam hear the zikr of that ant also. It's making ant or zikr also, that little worm, that ant. And what zikr was it making? Subhanalladhi yarani. Pure is that being who sees me. That little ant also, what marifat of Allah Ta'ala it is. though being right in the crevices of the rock, it also had that ma'rifat of Allah and that love of Allah, that expressing that, Ya Allah, you are so pure, you see me right in the deep depths of this rock. Subhanalladhi yarani wa ya'rifu makani. And you know my physical address also, where I am staying, in which rock of all the rocks of the world. You know me and you haven't forgotten me. Wala yansani. You don't forget me also. Wa yarzuquni. And you send my rosy, my truck loads of rosy, fresh, not from the 6 months deep freeze. My fresh rosy, you send it for me right here. And this is not any comic strip, it is the tafsir of Ruhul Ma'ani. If otherwise our minds can't comprehend this yet, that such things can happen. So that is Allah Ta'ala. Then see the jamal of Allah, the beauty of Allah. He gives us that food which we enjoy, which is delicious to us. A person, Allah gives us our food, and how don't we enjoy it? And it is only Allah who gave us our taste buds also. Otherwise, if a person got high temperature, 108, 110 degrees, or he can even go in a delirium, he's so high temperature, but he haven't got taste also. He doesn't want to even see food. He doesn't want to touch the food also. But who is it that kept us healthy, that our taste buds are in order? What is sweet, we enjoy it as sweet. What is cold, we enjoy it as cold. What is salty, we enjoy it as salty. It's only Allah Ta'ala. And all this in spite of the fact that we are such great sinners of Allah Ta'ala. So from this food of ours, we should also understand, and we should make tawbah to Allah. Really, before eating, at least just in our hearts, make tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. It's also for a human, the sharafat insani, the respect and honor of a human being, that you are going to eat by somebody's house, and you want to go and eat, but you got to fight with that person. You are talking bad about him. What is the right thing of sharafat insani? First you go and ask him for maaf. I'm coming to eat by your house, but I was making your ghibat all the time. I was slandering you. I was talking bad of you. Now I'm coming to eat by you. Please make me maaf. I feel very guilty that how can I eat your food when I was so talking so bad about you. And I was so against you. So Allah's food, and here in this dunya, you still got a choice to go and eat somebody else's food. But besides Allah's food, whose food can we eat? There is no one. So clean, and also Allahu Akbar. Those also our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair had explained to us that when a person, when his matters are clean with Allah, and then he eats that food, and with this ma'rifat that Allah has sent that food especially for me, see the enjoyment that increases in that food. When a person, say, for example, we go and buy a slab of chocolate in the cafe, in a shop, and we eat it, that's okay. A person goes and steals a slab of chocolate. He eats it also, but how guilty he feels. It's the same slab of chocolate, but now he's feeling guilty if he's got conscience. He feels so guilty, how can I be eating this? But he's stolen, he's eating. And one is, somebody gave it to you as a gift. And somebody who is beloved to you, who you love greatly, that person gave you that chocolate. Now the taste of the chocolate is the same chocolate, but there is a world of difference. The same thing if we realize we are obedient to Allah Ta'ala. And now we take this food, we have got Allah's ma'rifat also. And we eat it, that it is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. Wallah, see the enjoyment of the food. Our Shaykh says that his Shaykh, Hadrat Maulana Shah, Abdul Ghani Phulpuri, Rahmatullah Ali, when he used to eat simple food, dal, bhaji, the simple spinach, simple, very basic vegetable food, but with so much of relish, and he should say that, may Allah send this food for me. May Allah send this food for me. If we have to say that your beloved has sent this food, how happy you feel. May Allah. And if you got that love with Allah Ta'ala, then see the enjoyment. In Stanger, there is Ismail Bey Hafiji. They were first in a place in Nanda. And there was Munshi Saab, Rahmatullahi, very, very pious person.
So Ismail Bey say his father and them, they were associated with Munshi Saab and them. And they were small children at that time. And Munshi Saab and them, old people, they used to eat simple food, this dar, bhaji, all this very simple. But as they, very tasty, man, very tasty. So he says, we should say, hey, these topis are lying. where can bhaji be so tasty? Where can dar be, they lying, man. But he says, now I realize that what is the enjoyment. And this also has to do how much a person comes closer, his iman becomes stronger, and he saves himself from guna. Then we'll see all the simple natural things, desi, the simple natural things, how they appeal to a person. And all these artificial things, takeaways, and all this new recipes we're having today, all fancy. The woman more of the time is not in preparing the designing of the food. All the trimmings on top of it and all that. And all those things are 99 or 100% they unhealthy. And time it consumes. One time, Hazrat Ji Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was here in our country. And it was tea time and they brought something. So somebody asked, what is this? Some new old biscuits, no more. Just that simple few basic designs and that. Everything has got so much of design in it and trimmings and extras in it. So Hazrat Ji said, ye aurton ke chonchle hai. This is all the foolishness, all the you haven't put them into tilawat of Quran, into zikr. Now they got enough time. Their money, they're not spending for good causes. So this is now where they're wasting. And they're giving vent to all the feelings in all this thing here. Like for example, women, if you tell them program today in Ramzan, from 3 to 4 in the morning, 11 to 12, a common excuse you'll find, we have to cook. Ramzan is time to keep roza, not to cook. Just by the way, you just prepare something and it's done. But it's a main object in a woman's life. The cooking is a main object. Even in Ramzan, her main object is cooking. She said, I can't manage, I can't do this, I have to cook. Whereas it was supposed to be just a sideline, a small thing. But this we have given great importance. So in our food, see the kamal of Allah. For example, you just listen to this also. There is a lesson for us also. Allah Ta'ala asked Malakul Maut, that were you ever surprised and astonished whenever you had to take the ruh of a person? He said, yes, on two occasions. So Allah asked, when was that? He said, one, I had to take the ruh of a kafir. And it was his last minute, I was just now about to take his ruh. At that time he had the desire of eating a certain fish. And that fish wasn't in the waters where he stayed. There are certain fish which are only exclusive to certain places. Like the snook of Cape Town, you'd hardly get it anywhere else. In Barbados, the islands nearby, but you don't get there what is a flying fish. It flies over the water, very tasty also. In Malawi, you get the chambu in Lake Malawi, very, very tasty also, and a variety of them also. But you don't get that all, everywhere. There are fish which are exclusive to those places. So he wanted to eat a fish which was not found in the waters with some far away place. Allah made the arrangement that fish got caught and it got transported, it got cleaned, it got cooked, it got served to him, and after that he died. So for a kafir, so lot arrangement was made. Allah asked the other time, he said, for a mu'min, a wali of Allah, a pious person, it was his time of death and he wanted to drink water. And water was right by his head side. And as he stretched for it, he hit the glass and it fell down. And without even water, he had to die. For a kafir, so lot arrangement that fish was arranged for him, from where, cooked and everything. And as he liked it, he got it. And for a mu'min, a wali of Allah, and yeah, just this, just a drop of water, gulp of water, that also he was deprived. So Allah Ta'ala explained that kafir had one good deed which he had done. And we don't pay the non-believers in the year after. And we are fair and just. Any person does any good, we give them their wages in return. We reward them for it. So I gave him his reward in dunya, because for them there is no reward in the akhirat. And for that mu'min, that wali, he had one guna left. And the punishment of the akhirat in the qabr, even for one guna, is so severe, so terrible, that I did not want to give him that guna, punishment there. So I made this problem happen here, that water fell down, and he didn't get the water to drink. By that his guna got forgiven, and he comes to me pure and clean, and all my ni'mat's there. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala's kamali qudrat, that a fish you eat, whether you desire it or it just came, you bought it, anything. But who, where it was, where it got born, where it grew up, who caught it, how it was fed all the time. And all the time it was for you. It was being, all those things were happening for you. And then it got transported, it came to you, it got cooked, it came in your plate, you ate it. And what is the kamali qudrat of Allah Ta'ala? And the jamal of Allah Ta'ala, all our food, how don't we relish and enjoy that food? Allah made it such that every person looks forward to food. Every person enjoys food. Even animals enjoy their food. Look at fowls when you give them the food. A dog when you give it its meat. How everything, how the jamal of, and the nawal of Allah, the favors of Allah, how Allah Ta'ala is blessing us. So at all times, and a person, that is a true banda of Allah, who realizes that I'm faulty, I'm full of faults, I'm the worst, and when this reality hits a person properly, I'm the worst of all the people in the world. Muslims, non-Muslims, animals also. That is the time his heart becomes clean. And then all these anwarat shine in his heart. And then he gets that inner enjoyment of attachment to Allah Ta'ala. Until sins are on our heart. And one of the biggest sin is pride, takabbur. And that I'm somebody, I'm something. To understand this, that our humbleness, one genuine great buzurg, who was a really great buzurg, he prepared for Juma and he was going for Juma namaz. As he was going, he had to cross a bridge where only one person can pass at a time. Very narrow bridge. When he came on this side of the bridge, on that side, a dog was also coming. So both couldn't pass at the same time. Either he passes or the dog passes. So he was going for Juma. He finished by ghusl, wore his clean clothes for Juma. So he made a sign to the dog, you go from the bottom. And at the bottom was raw sewage running. And all filth, very dirty, filthy water, raw sewage, napak, dirt, najis. So he made a sign for the dog, you go from the bottom. Allah gave the dog a tongue to speak at that time. And the tongue spoke to the buzurg and said, you go from the bottom. And let me go from the top. So he said that, I'm going for Juma, I've taken my bath, I've worn my clean clothes, and I'm going for Juma namaz. So he told, yeah, and if I go through the raw sewage at the bottom, my clothes will get dirty, najis, napak, I'll have to wash it, and all that. So he said, if it will get dirty, you're going to walk through the muck and that. But you can wash it with one lota, one jug of water, you can make it park. Meaning, little amount of water, one bucket, whatever. But you can wash it, you can make it park. But if you think I'm lower than you, and therefore I must go from the bottom, and you better than me, and therefore you must go from the top, then that pride which is in your heart, the water of the seven oceans of the world will not be able to clean it. And to understand this, that we are that, we are so low. Today, just to pick up, how many of us will go wuzu khana, masjid, everything. Those who are in etikaf are not permitted, niyat of etikaf. But ordinarily, we see papers lying, we'll never pick it up. It's beyond our dignity. That how can I pick it up? It's Allah's house, to keep Allah's house clean. And it comes so clear in the hadith that every action of ours is presented to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in that hadith, to this detail, that piece of little dirt you pick up from the masjid, that also is presented to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That this person has done this neki. But we just pass by it. So this pride in us, we don't want to. We feel it beyond us. How can I do these things? So this is a very terrible thing, and this is one main thing. And the other thing is this bad-nazri. I forgot to mention that also, that these are two things that keep a person away from Allah. This bad-nazri, looking at other women. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say that a person swims the sea, he comes right to the shore and he drowns there. He doesn't reach the shore because of the guna of the eyes. In other words, Hazrat said, you reach as far perhaps in. You have become a great Shaykhul Tafsir and Shaykhul Adab and Shaykhul Hadith and a big mufti, everything. But if your eyes were not in control, all this seas of knowledge you swim, but you don't find Allah. If it is in ibadat, your ibadat, your tahajjud, your zikr, your tilawat, but guna of the eyes is there, in spite of all this, you don't reach by Allah Ta'ala. Whether it is in your sifat, you got sabr, you got zuhud, you got taqwa, all these qualities, but your eyes are not under control, that guna is still in you, you don't reach. And Hadrat says that this without effort doesn't go out of a person. Until a person doesn't actually make the effort to get control of his eyes. Hadrat explains, once they were in India, they were traveling by bus, they were sitting on the back seats, and right in front was an old Hindu man, 90 years old. He was sitting there, and a young Hindu girl, another girl came and sat alongside, on the seats that side. 16, 17 year old girl, whatever it might be, and that 90 year old man started staring at her. Not only was his eyes wide open, his mouth also wide open. And he's not aware also that how he's looking at her. With his mouth also open, eyes as though he's going to eat her up also. And swallow her up, and with his eyes and with his mouth also. The conductor came and told the Kaka, ticket le lo. Pay your bus fare, your money. Kaka is in another world. He's not hearing anything what he's saying. The conductor shook him. Kaka, ticket le lo. Kaka doesn't know what is happening. So Hazrat say, you can become 90 years old. You can be more cold than a deep freeze also. You can't do anything. You are finished now. But still the guna of the eye won't go away until you don't make the effort of getting rid of it. And your proper effort. And no effort can be done on your own. You need a doctor to help you. A small little problem, you sort it out, you take a panado, you take some made lemon, you got a cold or something, but when it's persisting and it's now becoming serious, you have to go to a doctor. So this also, until you don't get a doctor to remedy this, on your own you try, and next week again you got a cold. The third week again, then you say, I have to go to the doctor now. How's it every week, every month I'm catching the cold? There's something wrong. I have to go and see a doctor. So on our own we might try, we might get little relief, but it comes back again. And many, many people they keep on writing, we tried and we came back again. Take a doctor's advice, a spiritual doctor, and more than this, the actual treatment the spiritual doctor, the Shaykh will give, Allah's help is in that system. And Allah's help works in here. From here, while we are on this point also, remember, correspondence with the Shaykh is also very important. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, many times in between, India and Pakistan's political relations used to sour very much. And there was one time, many times like that, post also doesn't go direct from India to Pakistan or the other way around. Via UK it should go. So it takes very long. So if I had a problem, I should write my letter and put it in the envelope. The minute I put it in the letterbox, post it, he say my work is done. Whether it reaches my Shaykh or not, whether he reads the letter or not, whether he replies or not, if he replied, whether I get the reply or not, because here it's Allah's system. And that Allah says in the Quran Sharif, that with regard to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, what is the ayat? The an akhrijhum min al-zulumati ila an-nur. Wa laqad arsalna Musa bi ayatina an akhrij qawmaka min al-zulumati ila an-nur. We send Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to take his people out from darkness into light. That is the work of the Shaykh, who is a human in this world. And in another ayat, Allah Ta'ala, ascribes this act to himself, that Allah is the one who takes you out from darkness into light. Which is that ayah? Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. So fa'il haqiqi is Allah Ta'ala. The Shaykh is a sabab, but behind his work is Allah's work. When a person, when the murid is sincere, he wants islah, and the Shaykh makes the effort on that murid, Allah acts there. It's Allah who guides, and then a person gets cured. And mashallah, without exaggeration, till today, in this Mubarak system of what we call Piri Muridi, of your contact with your Shaykh, how many people's islah got made? Otherwise, how many, for example, Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi, what a great person. But his islah was not made with all his knowledge. But when he went to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, Allah made his islah and made him shine in the world. Also, one thing which Maulana, a person like Maulana Ali Mia Rahmatullah Alayh has written, anyone who will know the mizaj of Maulana Ali Mia, he was a more academic person. But he said that from whoever Allah Ta'ala took work of deen was a person who was connected with some wali of Allah Ta'ala. And a person whose deeni efforts, etc., remain alive are those people who had connection with some Allah Wala. And those who did not give importance, preference, prominence to this, they had lot of knowledge, they did lot of work of deen, but very soon they died, their name also died. They weren't remembered also by anybody. But in this line, till today, the people, Imam Ghazali is remembered, Fuzail ibn Iyaz is remembered, all these great people, though where they were, we got no family ties with them. We're not of the same nationality or anything, but how Allah made their name remain alive. And those who did not, were not in that line, their work they did, and they get the reward also for it. But it does not protect you, it does not carry on. So anyway, with regard to food, one important thing is to realize I'm not fit for this food. And if we realize that, I think perhaps all 100% our complaints at home will also get finished. Thus we think that I deserve the best, and why the wife made it like this, why she did, why she delayed. We got a problem all the time with everything. If our eyes, and this is also with regard to this aspect, that when you point a finger to somebody, like if you point a finger to somebody, immediately you are pointing three fingers at yourself. If you are taking out one fault of somebody, you are taking out three faults of yourself, which you don't realize. So the same way with the food, when we start taking out fault, we are actually taking out our own fault, what we are. And if we realize that I did not even deserve this, Qari Amir Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to be in Hardoi, had one beautiful way of making tarbiyat of his students and his murids also. One family member who studied there, then Qari Sahib keeps in touch with them, asked him all other things, what's your work? Then he asked him, what's your salary? And usually Maulana's salaries are very small, they don't get a good salary. Whatever salary, he said, MashaAllah, MashaAllah, make shukr to Allah. And realize I wasn't even fit for this much. If you take it that way, you'll make shukr. But if you look at other people's salary, raal tapka hoge. Water that, oh, that person earning so much, and that person earning so much. I'm as a Maulvi, I'm only getting so much. Hey, then you'll feel sorry and despondent. But if you think that I wasn't even deserving of this, I'm not fit for this also, you'll make shukr to Allah. And on shukr, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ Allah's promise with ta'keed, dar ta'keed, dar ta'keed. Allah's kalam is in ta'keed. And then so many ta'keed Allah put in their stress, that definitely I will see that I will increase you. And a person also, if we just look little bit further than our nose, we will see that these dunya people, in spite of earning so much, but they got no peace of mind, and they got no sukoon, whereas the Maulvi got over limit of sukoon. He's sleeping also all the time, his life is so comfortable and so easy. Those people under how much of stress they are. And then they have to see so many different types of doctors all the time. They have to go and see the psychologist, they have to go and see this person, that person. Maulvi got no all their problems. Allah saves him from so many expenses. He lives a quality life. If he is reasonably, not even 100%, reasonably according to what he has learned, he practices. Allah gives him a quality life. And he hasn't got all those expenses which those people have got. So anyway, so in this food, we should see this great qudrat of Allah. Then one common thing, which many of our satis say also, or they don't say it, but it is a fact, that we know we don't, we must not be eating the takeaway foods or etc. But we find it very hard to stay away. And today it is said, these takeaway foods actually started in America for migrant laborers, people who haven't got family, and where must they eat? But today, whether it's the president of America, whether it is anyone, all are eating takeaway foods. The way this whole chakkar has gone, and the way everyone is addicted and caught to it, from here, not only the food, all this electronic things and all that, the muqaddamat, the introduction of the Dajjal is all complete already. When the Dajjal himself will come, I'm sure all of us, perhaps in our childhood, we read that poem of the Pied Piper of Hamelin, that when he came and he sang his bugle, and everyone, you see even the mice running after him, everyone is going after him. When the Dajjal will come, this is what will happen. And it comes in the hadith that those men who want to protect their wives will have to fasten them with chains so that they don't go after the Dajjal. So the muqaddamat of the Dajjal, who can stay away for today? Cell phone. And in fact we say, without your cell phone you paralyzed. Everything of yours is on your cell phone. All your life things are on there. Without that you can't do. In almost all our Darul Ulooms, the rule is no cell phone. But in fact, all the every student got a cell phone. No matter all that rules, I was so surprised and I asked with interest that Hardoi, very strict they are there. Of course, when they ask the students, say, you have cell phones, they say, not at all allowed. You people got? They say, yeah, we got. So this is a thing which is how the Dajjal is working. The TV today, generally, nobody can stay, whether you are watching or not, but it must be on there. If it's not on, it's not a home. The TV has to be played, whether anybody is sitting, but it has to be on. So all these things like this, all these gadgets and these things, the way we are caught onto it, hooked onto it, just like there is addiction of all other things, addiction of all these things also. The same way with the takeaways. And our friends also, some of them, they know that we speak against it, but they go and eat, and then they pass sarcastic remarks also. And this is very dangerous. About, don't let Hazrat know, that don't let Hazrat mustn't see you eating. But they carry on with all this. This is no good. This is very bad. So anyway, this is a thing that is very, very harmful, very bad. And it is a thing which actually is alien to any culture. Not only to a Muslim culture, to any culture, your own food at home, what you have. And I usually say the most barakat are in three types of food. One is the madrasa food, what is cooked in the madrasa for the students. There is lot of noor and barakat. The second is the khanqa food, that food which is prepared here. The third, when you go in jamaat, and what the jamaat, whether it is baked beans they cook, or whatever it is, like a famous saying, that when you go in jamaat, they first butter you up, give you your butter always, and then they jam you in, you get jammed there, and then they give you beans. But anyway, the amount of barakat and noor in that food, whether it is in the butter, whether it is in the jam, whether it is in the beans. But you won't get that in what you get from the takeaways. But today, very sadly, jamaats go and they insist we only going to eat takeaway food. And which takeaway also they specify. From Nando's or from KFC or from where? From there we want this. This is very, very unhealthy. Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali, when a jamaat went to Thana Bhawan and he went and visited them to see, he found them that certain satis were making zikr, tilawat, other satis were going to fetch wood, others were going to buy their things there to cook. And when he saw them, he saw there is a jamaat of the Sahaba. They used to work like this. But today if you see, they're going in Nando's and going in KFC, I don't know what will be his fatwa today. That was the they look like the Sahaba. And today you don't see anyone sitting in a masjid making zikr, making tilawat. Today we are sitting around outside having discussions, buying ready food and all that. So there is a different picture where it's necessary. There is very Mubarak this work, and keep it as in its original form. And everything else also don't see the barakat. Anyway, so this eating out, today we'll just try and discuss a few things to help us, to discourage us from this eating out, what it is. One is from the halal point of view, from the deeni point of view, and the other from a health and cleanliness point of view. From both, so we will just try and discuss a few. Once we were discussing this in one town in the northern province, and one person who is a big businessman there, he explained his two experiences. One was, he says that he had given his car for service. And they told him what time it will be ready, so he went and collected, but it wasn't ready. They told him you still have to wait a little. So he was standing outside the workshop and waiting, and he saw next door to the garage was a KFC, or one of these outlets, and he saw the worker, a black lady, coming from opposite the road from OK's with plastic packets in her hand. And she was a customer in the shop, so he knew her. So he spoke to her, and then he said, what is this what you brought? So she said, chickens. But she said, your chickens are halal. So she was there, and now she said, it got finished, so I just went and buy chickens from there. Where have they got the importance of halal? They don't have any idea what is halal also. So the chickens got finished, so she has to have chicken when a customer, so she, whatever chicken she could get, she brought it there from OK Bazaar. The same person told us once their daughter or son was studying at university in Pretoria, boarding in Lodium. So they came and visit the child over the weekend, and then they decided we will eat out. So they went and buy food. So when they ordered, they take time to prepare it. It's not just over, you get it immediately. So while they're waiting, now just to pass time, they made a discussion, make some talk. So ask this halal, what does halal mean? The man who was serving there, a black man, non-Muslim man, so he said, what is halal? Piri piri. You just put some masala in there, then that means halal. They are Indians, because they associate Islam with the Indians in this country. So that the Indians, they like the piri piri. The little, it must be some masala in it. It must be spice. So that is what is called halal. So a person who has got that concept of halal, what halal are you going to get? So this is what the condition. One family, Muslim family in Indonesia some time ago, and these are all real actual what has happened. The woman, is very common it happens, they went on strike, we're not cooking. You people must go and buy from the takeaway. We're not cooking today, a Saturday night. So they went, they bought pizzas, and then they were sitting all around the table and eating. So the one mother next to her was her little daughter, little child. And the mother said, the child said, Mummy, what is this? Hold this hair, butcha, whole big cluster of hair in the food. So the mummy said, if I'm going to talk about this, nobody will eat. So she just hushed it up and made the child quiet. After a little while, she found a bigger cluster of hair in there. Then nobody could eat. So yeah, in our at home, also sometimes you find hair. Our Muslim women generally keep long hair, and they break also. And you might find it in the food also. But that you got a big problem with that. Like that whole night you sleep in a hair and you say, oh, what, how beautiful this hair, and wow, wonderful the smell of this hair. That you got no problem, but one hair came by mistake in the food, you make a big noise about it. And that hair there, that, how is it? Your wife, you know, she cleans herself, her hair is also clean, everything. That, what kind of hair it must be? And then, so, but if this all, if it can help anyone, it's somehow to at least refrain from these things. One in Lusaka, it came in the newspapers, and the media works also in a funny way. It's a South African story which did not come in the South African papers. If it comes here, just a small letter, but their headlines, big issue it was. What was it? A very famous takeaway in Santon, whose patrons are almost 100% white people. The burgers they were making, the owners got some doubt about it. So they put CCTV. And what they saw, that the black workers who are working, when they're making these burgers, they put everything, the meat or whatever, everything. And then they take out the grill from inside. And they spit on it. And they spread it out there. All this was caught on CCTV. And then they just close it again nicely, roast it, toast it or something, and all eat it with relief. Ah, oh, mashallah. An enjoyment. And when they called up these workers, why they do? They say in the days of apartheid, the oppression they did to us, we take out our revenge like this. So just imagine. And this is once, many years ago, easily perhaps about 15, 20 years, is also possibly also. Radio 702, usually they got a program where they interview various people. So they interviewed the waiters at restaurants, at hotels, etc. All different aspects. So one question they put to them quite interestingly, that you do get customers who are a bit, they want to be funny. They want to be bossy type. Especially when a man comes with his girlfriend and he wants to show her who I am. So where you take it out on the poor waiter? Anywhere else you can't throw your weight around. But here you come and you show that who I am and what I can do, etc. So they treat the waiters in a rough way. Bring this, you didn't bring this, why are you not bringing this, etc. So with such customers, what do you do? One similar incident was, now it's more computerized everything, but before when you're checking at the airport, the people were checking in, and one man also, big bulk, etc., also throwing his weight around what that girl was checking him in. So acting very rough and rude with her. And she handled the case very, very nice, politely. Nothing, she didn't get offended, nothing. And the next lady was an old lady, the next passenger who was going to check in. So she complimented her. How you handle that case, that man was being so... He was being totally unfair and how he was carrying on. But you handled it so well. She said, I took my revenge also. What did you do? He's going to Australia. I send his baggage to Tel Aviv. So in that way. So we do this and we don't know it's hitting us back somewhere. So anyway, yeah, with the waiters you carry on like that. So they ask, with such customers, what do you do? And this was on air. They said that we take the prepared food in the kitchen, everything properly prepared. Then we take it to the toilet. And from the toilet pan, we take water and we sprinkle it on top. And then we go and give it to them to go and eat. And when they release it and enjoy, then we sit back and laugh at them. We might laugh now, but this is what is happening. And we eating all that food. If we can say, Allah give us tawfiq, and you are what you eat. You are what you wear, and you are what you talk. What type of language you use, that has an effect on you. Talking all our English language, today without necessity, almost every small children using the high pen. So by using the high pen, your bottom not going to become white or anything. Which is their way of doing things, you're not going to become white or anything. But it is so unhygienic also. It is, when there was an ijtima in Sheffield in 72, the first ijtima of Europe, in Europe they were not allowing, in UK, the flat toilets for the ijtima. So Haji Bhai Padia, Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allah had given him a unique way of doing things. He went and they'd spoken to the authorities a lot. So when he went to, he said, let me try. So he went. And he tried to explain to them that with this high pan where the water is there all the time and your dirt goes on the water. So he says that what you are doing, one for me, one for you. That is, it falls there and then the water splashes up again. That dirty water. That makes sense to them. All the other scientific explanations didn't make sense to those authorities. But the simple little thing made sense. And they said, yes, the flat pan where it falls there and then you wash it out, you flush it down and it goes away. This is more cleaner, more hygienic. And their system, at least we, inshallah, which also is very important. Many places now we see in our homes, there is the high pan and there is no tap for the water. There is no jug. you have to take water from somewhere else. If your water gets finished, sometimes it happens. When you're washing, you need more water. Sometimes little water is sufficient, but sometimes you need. Then what do you do in such a case? This is now, we must, if we have to have a high pan of necessity, then have a tap also there. The jug also must be put there, so that a person can at least wash himself. Their system is that they use tissue roll. And what is that? Not washing or cleaning. It is polishing. So they polish themselves, and with what they polish? With their dirt. And their system is, they fill the tub with water and they don't bath, they go and lie down. That is why a bath is called a bath, because you lie down in that tub. That is a bath. And to save water, the whole family uses the same water. So the dirt of the first person went in the water, second person more, third person even more. And then inevitably, when you're in the tub, etc., some water goes in your nose, some goes in your mouth also. What they knew, what is cleanliness? The first people in Europe, now perhaps more than 200, it was 200 years. On that, once Mullah, who? Nasiruddin, he went to a, where old things are kept? Museum. And there the person who was taking them around told, this year is about 15,000 years old, this thing here. So Mullah put up his hand up, and he said 15,002 years. So you are surprised, this man knows so much. He said, I came 2 years ago, then also you said 15,000. So now it's 15,002 years, that this the story or the event of this year. So anyway, maybe about 200 years ago or more, France was the first country in Europe to bring bathrooms into their homes. Otherwise, they just had public bathrooms. Cleanliness and washing. This is from the deserts of Mecca and Medina, where no water was found. But cleanliness of water was taught by Nabi Madani, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where water was so scarce that there, taharat, and for every time namaz, make wudu. And for ghusl, this was taught there, where these people knew what is cleanliness. All till today, French perfume is famous. And why? Because they shouldn't bath, just use perfume all the time. They are dirty inside, and just with the outside. And today we also have become, we just worried of the outside. Inside cleanliness, we not worried. And more than inside bodily cleanliness, spiritual cleanliness is the most important. So anyway, these are things that we should be very careful. This eating out is very, very harmful for our iman. It's detrimental for our culture. And another very important thing, Maulana from Malaysia, Maulana Umair, our student also, and mashallah is running Khanka, very successful also there. He explained to me that I was very surprised, it couldn't click also, and for most of us we won't be able to understand it. He says, for Maghrib namaz in Ramzan, hardly musallis you get. One or two if you get, you are lucky. Nobody. What happens? 2 months, 3 months, 4 months before Ramzan, all the restaurants are booked out. All iftari dawats. And a whole family, man, woman, all are booked out, and they go and have nobody there for Maghrib. How shaitan has misled us. And when we were in India, when we were studying in Deoband on 15th Shaban, one of our very senior ustaz, Maulana Fakhrul Hasan sahab, rahmatullah alayh, it was our common practice where on occasions like this, we should ask them to come give a talk for the South African students. So in his talk he explained, then we realized that 15th Shaban is such a Mubarak night. And now we read in all the kitabs, but what shaitan made all the people? Firecrackers, or that they are shooting the whole night. All other things in food, that it was a night of ibadat, of making tawbah, but where shaitan took us away. And then we find the Barelvis, for example, any special occasion, putting lights on the masjid, or on the lights in the houses, etc. We lose the complete direction, what we were supposed to do, and we go in the complete different direction. So here also, what was I saying? Ji, so Ramzan, what a Mubarak time. when you're opening your roza, du'as are so readily. How Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali is pleading with us that at that time make du'a. Spend your time in du'a. Now when you're at a restaurant, that environment there, men there, women there, all sitting there and having, what kind of an environment? Where, who makes Maghrib namaz? If they make it not in the masjid, and then not with jamaat, and the whole object is defeated. So sadly, this is coming by us also. We are also now, our people, having the iftari da'wats in the restaurants. Even at home don't have. Ramzan is a time when you, if we have made a target and object what Ramzan is meant for Allah's ibadat, for our reformation, etc., then your whole day, your routine is one fixed routine. I can't personally, al-mar'u yaqisu ala nafsihi, I can't understand how people can change their routine. Then your whole object is defeated. That routine is so important to maintain that routine. By this one da'wat, okay, we say we're handing it over to the caterers, the restaurant, they're doing everything. But even then, booking the hall and all the arrangements still to be made, lot of arrangements, the whole system gets messed up. This is a thing, really, we mustn't go in this wrong direction. And it's catching more on in our community. The other thing is, which good people, for example, they finish Quran on the 10th night, have a dry place now. It doesn't click at all. If we see Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, he did not have a single moment even to spare for anyone. Otherwise, Hazrat's hospitality, Hazrat's akhlaq, but Ramzan was a different, like he's in a different mood completely. How can we waste time in this? And what Allah gives us so much of anwarat and barakat in Ramzan. And in this type of things, we go and lose everything. That one braai, we know you're in a braai, everyone is like free now, you talk and you're joking, the tone of, the volume also goes higher, and what you speak also, you speak other things. If it wasn't a braai, you went home and that, you would have been different. For how not you speak, how what you speak, how loud you speak is different. And in a braai, it's completely different. All not going to sit like Sufis in the braai and keep quiet and just quietly eating there. No, it's a different mood completely. So all your anwarat, barakat, shaitan, he's got his agents that are still working. The smallest shaitan or the nafs, and whatever we earning, then they take care stealing it away. So we must avoid this. And yeah, perhaps, hopefully, we don't do this yet. But we have our family, friends, explain to them. And here also, all this takeaway, today it is so much so. We went to one nearby country, and for meals, it was lunch, and they brought all the KFC boxes, giving them out to each one. We told them, this type of food, if you can't entertain your guests with your house food, and that also now ready food you want to have, it speaks very much like it's a burden, that these people are a burden. And this food that is prepared by, it's, for example, a Muslim man who slaughters, and he is a drunkard also. But he is a Muslim man and he reads Bismillah Allahu Akbar. He's got Iman. And a kafir who slaughters, first of all, Allahu Akbar. We must also know the way of slaughtering is also totally different. The Sikh people, they eat swine also. That is haram. But just see, they multiply that haram, compound it in such a way. How do they slaughter? They don't slaughter. How do they kill that animal? They take a poker, a iron rod, make it red hot, and from the back of the animal, they push it into that animal. And in that way, kill the animal. Oh, Allahu Akbar. What's going on? How can you, even any animal, and it's a swine, it's a pig, and they kill it in that way, how can you have enjoyment? Recently, in Thailand, this whole big thought came, dogs that people export to, what's the place's name near Thailand? There's the one other country there, where dog is a delicacy. And that dog, Vietnam, that dog, when it is clubbed to death, when you, not you slaughter it or something, but you, with a big hammer or something, you kill it. In that way, that they pay so much money for it. Allah, in this day and age, it's unbelievable that what and what is still happening. And Islam, Allah has given us the most perfect and the most clear way. For example, our slaughtering, scientifically it has been proven. When we were in Germany, I spoke to this about to them. They said they acknowledged it. And in the University of Hamburg, there they had this test. That they tested, they put electrodes on the brains of the animal. That when it's slaughtered, how much pain it gets, and if it is stunned with a gun, etc., they stun it, then how much pain does it get? They saw very clearly almost zero pain when it is slaughtered. And when it is stunned, the pain is unbelievable. But we see with our eyes, when you're slaughtering, it looks like inhumane, and the blood is flowing. And you shoot the animal, that it looks like it is, it's not so bad. But actually that, and the explanation of this is, one Hafiz Ahmad gave me this beautiful explanation. He says when we have to slaughter, there is the rule of Sharia, that you must slaughter the two blood veins, the windpipe and the throat pipe. Four things must be slaughtered. At least three must be slaughtered for it to be halal. And it is makruh to slaughter the whole neck. Sometimes a person whose hand is heavy, a knife is sharp, and if it's a small chicken or something, or a dove or something, the whole head also goes off. But that is makruh. You shouldn't do that. You should just only slaughter. So what is the reason for this? One explanation besides that, when we slaughter, then the blood starts coming out from here. Now the blood, the pump house where the blood is pumped is from the heart. So now the blood is not going to the brain. So the brain, and when you slaughter and you haven't slaughtered the whole neck, the other nerves which are running at the back, nerves run at the back here. So those nerves, the brain sends a message to the heart that I'm not getting blood, I need blood. So the heart works more harder to send this blood to the brains. And when it's sending, it's all coming out here. So that animal, it has no blood in it. All the blood comes out here. And in fact, the nerves that run at the back, they run to all the parts of the body. That is why a fowl, after slaughtering, its legs, its wings, it flutters it. A goat, if you slaughter a sheep, it kicks its legs. All that is, it's sending the last drops of blood which it has got. And all of it is coming out here. And that meat, which has got no blood in it, is the most healthiest and the most tastiest. It is for this reason that many Christian people in our country, ZCC people, they go look for halal. And many times they say it costs more, but that meat is very tasty. That meat where all the blood, and when you stun the animal, like even in hunting, or even ordinarily where today mostly they stun, and the governments are being brainwashed also, and they are making this law everywhere that they say even Muslims, you want to slaughter, you can slaughter, but after that you must stun. What's the reason of stunning after? There is absolutely nothing, but they are being controlled by other people. So by stunning, the animal is brain dead. So the brain can't give messages anymore. So all the blood remains in the body. Now when you slaughter, even here, where they were, our students went and see a bull brand here in Krukenstock, the slaughtering of the bulls, the cows, etc. They also saw that after stunning, then the little blood comes out. Most of the blood remains inside. And that meat is the most unhealthiest, and there is no taste in it. And if you will take notice when you eat, and sometimes you feel that the meat is not tasty, in a roundabout way, just find out how it was slaughtered, who slaughtered. You will find it was stunned, that animal. And when sometimes you get the meat extremely tasty. That meat that was slaughtered properly. So in their own universities, they have established that the Islamic way of slaughtering is the most perfect way. When we were small children, there was a colored family living nearby. And when Christmas time, New Year's time, they used to slaughter, not slaughter. We should see, they take a chopper and they put the chicken down, and with the chopper chop the whole head off. Islam is such a humane way, the most perfect way. Allah has given us the most best way of doing everything. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in slaughtering also, let there be husn, beauty in your slaughtering. The knife must not be shown to the animal. They also realize the knife must be absolutely sharp. And in slaughtering, it's not slicing as a loaf of bread. like you slaughter, you slice like that. Slaughtering must be one time. And when you slaughter, that nerve which runs and which takes pain to the brain, that nerve is cut immediately. So there is no pain to the brain. The brain, pain comes because of the brain. From there pain is made out. Any pain we got, there's a problem in that part of the world, of the body. And to send the message, the SOS to the brain, I've got a problem in my knee, in my toe, etc. It goes to the brain and it's then manifested in the form of a pain. Because if there wasn't pain, you won't pay attention to that what's happening. So that pain comes. The more severe the pain, the bigger your problem is. So you have to take now, treat that there. And so the pain is the message that is being given, that there is a problem here. But that pain nerve is cut, so there is no pain to the animal whatsoever. So the most beautiful way. So we must not opt for anything. And how these people kill the animals in the world till today, it's unbelievable. And what things they eat. Another very thing which we should also try and avoid. Today everyone, today is a Chinese meal. And Chinese, they eat, what and what don't they eat? We want to follow the Chinese in eating. They eat puppies, they eat dogs, they eat anything. One Maulana Bahadur Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, used to say, Chinese have spread so much in the world today. They say, now you'll have to marry a Chinese woman also. But he say, no problem, because they are very short, so you have, with the clothing, only 1 meter will be enough to do that clothing. The other thing is, the legs are so small, so small size shoe, so that's also not expensive. The third thing is, whatever kullu ma yataharraku ya'kulu, whatever moves they eat. So whether it's a rat, whether it's a mouse, whether it is anything, so even feeding them no problem. And they're very hard working people, so you have manpower also. So anyway, food is a very important thing. We must not take it as something small. And this disease which has spread, that people just can't stay without going to eat out. If you want to eat out, I usually say, go and eat in your yard. You are eating out now. You prepare all the food nicely that your housewife, what she prepare. I was giving that example, see, the stock went from there. That a person who may be a drunkard, but he's a Muslim, he slaughters with that iman. And a person who is a kafir, he reads kalima also. It doesn't help anything. Why that iman? Then further ahead, your wife who is a Muslim, even if she's not reading Yasin Sharif, she's not reading Bismillah, but she's cooking, that iman, she's making her namazes on time, all that effect goes in there. And that food which is prepared by that woman or those people in the kitchen who don't know what is namaz, cleanliness, Allahu Akbar, always it's a continuous thing, feces found in the food. No matter what the hygienic rules are, South African Airways prides itself, and really, that its catering is one of the best, and it wins continuously awards for its good catering. But there was a time, maybe easily 10, 12 years ago, where feces, pieces of stool, little piece of food was found in South African Airways food. And when I asked one travel agent, he gave me this explanation that with altitude, the food changes into feces. So poor Mali Sahab, what Mali Sahab knows? You can tell him what you want to. He is udunun. He just listens. He just gets ear to everything. In all the hygiene of today, with all the rules, you go personally just into this catering place and see how the food is prepared. That person doesn't have a problem with its mucus at time. That person has, which religion? Islam, that pure religion that taught us this cleanliness and consciousness of Allah. And these non-Muslims themselves, they say Muslims are so disciplined people. If they go to toilet, do they wash their hands? How much in our houses the maids that work, the workers, how many problems the house women have got? When you go toilet, you must wash your hands. How much they train them, but still it doesn't happen. So when this is happening in our house, than in commercial places, and the thing which is for business, so be conscious what you're putting in your mouth. Your mouth, Allah kept it pure. Be conscious what you're putting in your stomach, and that comes out in your character. That comes out in your aqaid. It comes out in your amal. Kulu mina tayyibat wa amalu saliha. But unfortunately, this doesn't make sense to so many of us. All we can give is a cynical smile on it. that you can talk what you want to, we're going to carry on with what we want to do. And it's up to everyone what you want to do. And the results will come out for you in this world also, in the qabr also. What the results will come out to in our children also in future. So it is up to us. But what we, وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ, our duty is to let you know and to tell you, whether you make a fool out of us, whether you sarcastic and pass cynical remarks and expressions, that's all up to you. But what we have to say, that we have to say, and it is all for your own good. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, you people are such that you want to fall into the fire, I hold you by your waist and I try and pull you out. But yet you get loose and you just want to fall in there. If we opt for the ways of the kuffar in this ways, then how can any reality come into us? It's all just a entertainment and a show. And we're just making, having double standards, and we are fooling ourselves. May Allah give us true hidayat and let us understand these basic things, how important they are.